to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 212. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hey, we're having spring here in Bloomington. The trouble is it's kind of white spring.
And Phil Wilson.
Hello.
How you guys doing
today?
It's been
a long time, boys. It's been 2 weeks since I talked to you guys.
I know. It has been. It's been way too long.
Same for me, too.
Talk about a vacation.
Woo! Yeah, much needed rest.
Yeah, you feel much better for it, don't you?
Oh, man.
Okay. How's it going, guys?
You know, it's going pretty well. It's there's no technology news, so I guess we'll talk about knitting today on the new quilting segment.
That's not right. We're going to talk about knitting on the quilting segment? That's not right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's something
shows
wrong.
How much I know about it, right?
Yeah, right.
That's just not right. So, but no, when I was gone, I sorry to say, I did miss Minibar. But you guys, who held down the fort for us at Minibar?
Graham held down the fort at Minibar.
Fabulous.
Even though he was sick.
You're right. It wasn't easy, but I held out till the beer, and I actually had I don't know how I did it, and I kept getting hoarser as I talked all day long, but
all about priorities for Graham.
I have this vision of you, Graham, crawling along a desert floor, but there's a beer bottle in the distance, and you're going to make it.
Yeah, well, that would be apt. I was a lot sicker on Friday last week when you guys did the podcast. On Saturday, I was feeling, kind of up to it, but I was still coughing a fair amount, and I still have the damn thing. So excuse my voice, but.
Well, how was the event?
Tell us about the event. Yeah.
Well, it was over the top, over 1,000. So even more than last year and very crowded. And, I heard at least one old timer say, these things are getting too big, but I don't know. It's always a very worthwhile event because of what you learn and because of the new people you meet. Jamie Thingelstadt, who's chairman of the 501c3 Ministar, got up and made remarks at the beginning, and he asked people to show their hand, raise their hand, if it was their first minibar. And it was amazing how many people raised their hands, like way north of 100 or more raised their hands, So it's new to a lot of people, although I ran into at least one other person that had been to all 8 of them. I've been to 7 in a row. Somehow I missed the first one, but
did you do that? What panel did you do did you do that crowdfunding panel that they had?
I sat in on it, and learned nothing except there isn't anything to learn. There aren't any real breakthroughs happening. A couple of new things they didn't even touch on, but the general gist of it, and there was a lawyer on the panel whom I know, Kevin Spring, and a VC, a young VC from the Coral Group. The gist of it is that it's going nowhere fast, as far as equity crowdfunding. Kickstarter, yeah, that's been around for how long now? 2009 or 2010 at least. And, everybody knows about, product pre-order crowdfunding. That's not the news. The news that people wanted to hear, I'm sure, and it was in the theater, so they were expecting a large crowd. It wasn't mobbed, but it was a big crowd. The news they're expecting to hear is, is this Jobs Act thing coming any closer? And Kevin Spring joked that, it was supposed to be done by end of 2012, and there's still no sign that the rules, the SEC rules, are going to be in place. And, somebody asked him, well, when? And he said, well, maybe by the end of the year. But I think, probably a lot of neophytes in the room that thought they could use crowdfunding for their new startup left probably a little, depressed about the fact that it's not really going to help anybody for a long time, it appears.
Well, what were some of the hot sessions that you went to?
Oh God, you're asking me to remember. I'm sick. Remember? How can I remember? It's been a week. Okay. What was a hot session I went to? God, there were so many good ones. Where's my phone? I got to bring up my, my,
I just put a link in the Skype chat if you want to take a look at that.
Yeah, I will. There, let me think. There was a good session on IP, how to do your patent thing by Eduardo Drake that was fun. You know, the one that I wanted to get to, did you guys read about Don Ball's proposed session ahead of time?
Mm-mm. No.
I don't know how the hell I missed that one. Something about a, but you know, there were sessions on the original list that weren't at the event. I know of one in particular where somebody just dropped out and I was going to go to it. But Don's, I don't even remember seeing Don Ball's on the final list, you know, on my iPhone. I brought up their app. Well, they had a web page, you know, with optimized for mobile. And I don't remember seeing Don's, but he was doing something like, the title was like thoughts about a plan for innovation or something in the land of 10,000 corporate drones.
An explosion of startups in the land of 10,000 corporate drones. A very serious proposal.
Yes. Are you on the page now, Phil?
Yeah.
It showed up like it really happened, huh?
Yeah.
Because somehow I missed that on the grid and I didn't get into it. But you know how it goes. You're out in the hallways talking. I mean, you know, about a third of the people are continually, or at least that many, are out in the hallways talking. And you want to get to a session and you can't get to it. Or you get stuck in one and then you have to walk way, way over to the other side to pop into another session. I popped in on one. I popped in and out of a lot of them. There's one on nonprofits that was quite good, I guess, from what I gathered. And but, you know, again, it wasn't so much the sessions that jump out in my mind as it was the, you know, the networking and, you know, meeting new people. A couple guys came up from Des Moines this time. Our one regular guy, Mark Beckman, I believe is his last name, came up from Des Moines and he brought another guy with him who did a session. I didn't see any of the Fargo guys there. I kind of expected that one or more of them might make it, but I'm sure there were people from all over the state that came to it. So it, I think, you know, and a goodly amount of people hung around till the end. Sometimes it kind of peters out in the afternoon with people coming and going, but the reception at the end of the day was still very, very crowded. So, you know, again, an excellent event that takes a lot of work to put on and a lot of sponsor money to put on. And, you know, some new sponsors, some of the original sponsors, in fact, IP House, Bill McLessie, that guy's been a sponsor since the very first one. You know, several of the others have been sponsors for many years too. Split Rock Partners. I saw Michael Gorman there briefly, never saw him again to talk to him, but it's a huge, great mix of different kinds of folks. A lot more women, you know, every year there's more women, more developer women, and all kinds of folks of the opposite sex that made it interesting, of course. So,
well, that's great. I mean, I had a chance to meet with Megan Willikert from Clockwork yesterday, you know, Irish girl from Twitter. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, we're all happy to see that that particular segment of the tech community is growing and there's more women, you know, in tech. And it's, I think that's a long past due.
Did she happen to mention if she was at Minibar?
No, we didn't talk about Minibar.
Okay, well, she might have been there. And I mean, you literally could not run into somebody you wanted to run into. I mean, there were people that were there, I'm sure, that I just never saw, even though I was moving the whole time. You know, it's just a really big group of folks.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and it's good that they're continuing to be able to put it together and continuing to draw people. You know, it used to be that, you know, everybody would register and nobody would show up. You know, now it's, you know, they'd register 1,000 and 300 would show. But now it's, you know, people are realizing, hey, this is worth going to. So, I mean, I think it's really a great event.
Well, then they register and it's sold out in an hour.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Well, and then they begged people that weren't going to use their ticket. Did you see that email that came out like 2 or 3 days in advance? Like, please, if you're not going to use your ticket, give it up to somebody else. I mean, they had people, you know, begging on the waiting list for a ticket. You wouldn't believe the line out the door of Best Buy headquarters at 8 a.m. when I arrived. It was like a Disneyland line. Once you got inside in the little lobby vestibule and then in the big lobby, it was like snaking back and forth. It took about 20 minutes to go through this line to get checked in. But the line was literally out the door and the wind chill had to have been about 10 degrees. And we're standing outside the door. Come on, let me in, you know, but it worked out.
Wow.
I also understand that, yeah, there was no parking left in the area.
Oh, so. Oh, I'm sure. I was at the, I arrived at 8 and I was out on, you know, on the side closest to the freeway in that last row, I think.
Well, did you get your t-shirt? That's the important thing.
I know. I've got way too many t-shirts, but they were handing them out.
Good.
Plenty. And there were other vendors handing out t-shirts too. I mean, it's turned into a real party, you know. For the startup community, I mean, it's the big one. There's nothing even close, you know, to that.
Well, I was impressed by Lee Schaefer's article about our local company, Heroic Incorporated,
right?
That has an online service to refer people to their favorite car repair shop, roofer, or house cleaner. And what's ironic is when I went to look at the Star Tribune business article, the ad by Google right above it is for a roofing contractor. And the one on the right is to a cleaning authority. And it's just, it's, you know, it's kind of ironic. That,
so they're competing with the Star Tribune. Now that's
Well, no. Well, yeah.
No.
They're,
obviously, the way that works is that it's scanning the content of the article.
Of course it is. Of course.
Targeting the ads. So that's not surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if they start running ads, they would be competing. Well, with the Star Tribune is what I meant.
No, I know. But the whole thing about Heroic is it's, you know, we're cleaning my dad's house and there's black mold in one little area in the basement and I need a black mold cleanup, crew. Boy, I'd love to get recommendations from a friend instead of, you know, blindly going out over the internet and trying to find some company that's reputable.
But you didn't want to just pour bleach on it yourself? You had to pay somebody to do that?
No.
He wants to pay $400 to have somebody pour bleach on it.
It's a killer.
It's more than that.
That black mold is a killer.
I think Heroic's a good idea, but isn't Angie's List so ingrained in this space that it's going to be difficult for them to sort of stand out?
Yeah, I would bring up, and I know these guys, and I've helped them, and somebody else was quoted in the article that's done free advising for them too. But excuse me, I got to clear my throat.
Oh, there we go.
But the thing that impressed me the most was that Lee Schaefer was writing about a startup. That's what really impressed me. or that the Tribune was. Especially an early stage startup.
Right.
So, you know, hats off to Lee. But, you know, they've got a big challenge ahead of them. And that was mentioned in the article because they need to build that out market by market. And man, that takes bucks, you know, and they know it. And they need to raise big money to really pull off that business plan. But the site is very nice. They've done a really good job building it, and it looks good. I've used it. I put my son, who has a painting contracting business, Advanced Painting Contractors LLC. There's a plug, Jeff. And I put him on there. And, of course, he hasn't got any calls yet, but painting is not an area they're pushing, I don't think. It seems like they pushed house cleaning really hard and maybe a couple of other types of services.
I don't know. I find the site very difficult to read when you get into a section that's got a lot of recommendations in it. You know, the one twos, it's a little bit difficult to read. You know, the one thing that stands out is the big quote marks, and that's rather than, you know, the business. So
yeah,
it's a little bit difficult to read.
It's a Pinterest user interface.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, they're trying to work out the bugs, and they played with different kinds of interfaces. So they are very definitely still in early beta. stage, and some might call it alpha stage.
Sure.
Which to me was sort of surprising that it was being written up when it is so early on, and they have like 1,000 users, you know. But anyway, they need to raise some big money, and I know they've been out in California trying to get venture capitalists interested, and it's hard when you're here, and it's hard when there is big competition like they face, both old established Angie's List being the prime one, but of course they'll tell you umpteen different ways they're different than Angie's List and better than Angie's List, and yeah, okay, but you've still got to compete in people's minds with that, but there's a lot of other sites similar to what they do, and again they'll tell you, you know, that they're different, but TaskRabbit is the one that's raised a ton of money that's kind of in the same space and is a Silicon Valley darling, you know. So
well, I think one of the key differences, or what, no, key differences, one of the areas that I've not yet seen a lot of companies take advantage of is what the patch model is. So you guys have Lakeville Patch. There's now an Eden Prairie Patch, and that's an AOL driven local news site. But the way
you brought that up.
Well, the way that they do it is they find someone who's going to be the editor of that city, and that person can then, you know, there's a revenue model where that person, the more work they do, the more businesses they capture, the more ads they do, and you know, on the site, the more money they make. And so there's a real economic incentive for somebody to help build the business, and I don't see a lot of that happening with a lot of startups.
No, I think that could be you know, leveraged, although you know, Patch has not been the greatest success either. You know, in fact, I haven't heard much about it lately, and I'm wondering where that's at with AOL. I know they poured a ton of money into it and hired a ton of people, but didn't I read they finally had to cut back? I mean, they had to stop spending on that, and I don't know if is it just sort of holding in maintenance mode, or have they shut down any cities yet, or have you
not
guys
that
heard?
I'm aware of, no, but again, that's not the primary issue. It's just that everybody's trying to do everything virtually as opposed to finding agents in respective markets, because, you know, who knows who's better connected in the Twin Cities than somebody that lives here. So if you're a startup in Chicago and you want to penetrate the market and you find the right person to lead the market, then it would seem to me that the investment would be less because you'd be paying based on the business raise.
But the issue for startups and for people funding them is if it's not working for AOL, what the hell makes you think little Joe in, you know, East Bumfuck, North Dakota, excuse me, can do it? You know what I'm saying? If AOL can't make a business out of that model with pouring $160 million or whatever the heck they did into it, then, you know, it may be, you know, it may be a great idea, but it has to work too.
No, I agree. No question. Well, so let's segue into another discussion, and that's about the tablets that are transforming learning in many West Metro classrooms. I got to tell you that starting about a year and a half ago, I was having lunch with my old buddy, Eric Johnson, who used to run Apple Education in 13 states, and a local guy here who ran Minnesota for higher ed and K-12. And during that discussion, the guy that ran the higher ed K-12 said, all we're doing is iPad presentations. That's it. I mean, nobody wants us to come in and talk about Macs. Nobody wants to talk about iPod touches, nothing else. It's iPads, iPads, iPads. And I got to tell you that I've been, in fact, I'll put a link in the show notes to this. I have a list of the top iPad installations updated last fall. It was in a Forbes magazine article. And there's several in Minnesota that are huge penetration. of iPads.
Just for education, or are you talking? Well, this is for corporate
and yeah, this is
yeah.
For
Medtronic
the whole
is a big one on the enterprise side.
Yeah, yeah,
yep.
So it's pretty interesting. Now Lakeville, we've had it's Lisa, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forget her last name.
Dr. Schneider.
Dr.
We had her Schneider. We had her on the podcast, and Lakeville's going to town on their tablet program, right?
Yeah, and they are, you know, they continue to develop, you know, electronic learning opportunities beyond and, you know, utilizing those tools, but well beyond. And I have the pleasure of being on their technical advisory council. We meet once a month and talk about, you know, how we can integrate the technology into learning. Also, you know, how we can prepare students better for a more technical and connected world. And it's very exciting. It's something that she's passionate about. And I think it's something needs to be addressed. That's for sure. And, you know, one of the biggest issues that you face in that particular arena when you're talking about tech for schools is, you know, in an environment, especially here in Lakeville, where we've cut back on budget because, you know, bond issues haven't passed. You know, there's the challenge of, you know, when you tell somebody, generally speaking, you tell the general public you're going out and buying 400, 500 new iPads, the first thing you hear is, well, you know, how come that money's not being spent on either infrastructure or, you know, keeping fees low or that sort of a thing? That's probably the biggest challenge that any school district has, is justifying that expense, because so many times people don't understand that a lot of the budgets and a lot of money that's provided to school systems is contingent on that money being spent on a certain aspect of the budget, and it can't be moved somewhere else. So I think there's always that PR problem, but beyond that, it's some very exciting stuff, some very interesting stuff that can be done in the classroom with the technology.
Well, you know, as a taxpayer, when we had a referendum here in Eden Prairie, for technology, and it was all about buying new workstations for the lab. Now, this is 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I remember looking at that and saying, are you guys serious? You're going to be buying a bunch of stuff for labs? Why would you not buy, you know, MacBooks and put them in a cart?
Well, they did that too. Guys in Eden Prairie have so much money. You don't really have to
right.
You can keep buying stuff till, you know, every year, right?
Well, I'll tell you, though, that I'm much happier to see them go out and buy 16 gig iPads for, you know, $300 than I am, you know, going out and buying a $1,200 workstation that's going to go into some lab somewhere.
Well, if you look at what they have currently, at least here in the Lakeville system, it's very antiquated stuff. You know, they're all iMacs from the days when they were CRT iMacs. Yeah. So all of the bond issues have been voted down over the last several years. So basically, their technology is very antiquated, and it's good to see that Dr. Schneider did find some money from the state that wasn't locally driven to support this, or they basically wouldn't have any technology in the schools.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, they wouldn't have any current technology.
Right. Well, they're throwing out a lot of the old ones, and people are not using computers in the district now because they can't afford new ones.
Right.
So I think that the iPads are, you know, are good from that perspective. I'm not certain that they've figured out how to integrate them into learning yet across the board, but they're trying some new stuff out.
Well, and they'll get there. That's why most of them, you know, especially the school districts that are doing one-to-ones, which is, you know, a kid gets one at the beginning of the year and they keep it with them all year. Those districts are focusing those one-to-ones. They're not buying one-to-ones for everybody. Mm-hmm. So they're picking select classes, you know, seventh and eighth graders, for example, rather than everybody. Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to see is some sort of a program where, you know, every student has to have their own, you know, get their own iPad, but that somehow the district and the parents, you know, kind of go in on that. So maybe it's, you know, your iPad's $250 instead of $500. Mm-hmm. And there's some way that can be defrayed, and then every student has their own, because I think that would be the ideal program.
Yeah. No,
and get nonprofits to help with those who can't even afford their portion, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah, that would be good to see, because I'm not sure if the school districts need to make the investment in technology to refresh that all the time.
Well, you know what freaks me out, though? When we were on the plane ride back from Australia, they handed out iPad-like movie devices.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the company, but they were in a rugged case and so on. Well, I fell asleep, and it was sitting next to my foot. And then when I woke up, I stood up to go to the bathroom. I stepped on it and cracked the screen.
Nice one, Steve.
Well, and I'm very, very, very careful with my technology. I mean, I hardly ever scratch anything. And
I will bet not. I will bet you if that was an iPad, you would not have stepped on it.
He stepped on it because it was an Android.
It was Android some sort of
Android wasn't out then. Oh, come on, you guys.
It was some Linux thing, and he does not like Linux. Just the way it is.
Oh, God.
No, Steve does not like Linux because it's free.
Hey, wait a minute. Who's running Parallels on their machine right now with Windows 7 and Ubuntu?
Ubuntu, there you go.
Well, I am, for one.
Okay, well, you're the only, you're the only one.
I'm not. Actually, I have Windows 7 in boot camp.
Yeah, me too.
I run a Windows-free environment.
Parallels, a look at the boot camp partition.
Windows-free environment.
Yeah. I still run a Windows.
All possible options. Yeah.
Windows with a Z. Windows-free environment, baby.
All right. So, Tim, I bet you put this in here. The Facebook Home is available to download on select Android devices.
Well, I wanted
to
get Phil's take, because he's, to me, he's like Mr. Mobile here on the panel. So. And we talked about it last week. You probably didn't listen to the show, Phil, but I was bullish on it. Steve was not. So we need to get kind of you to weigh in on this.
I think it's going to fail.
I don't think it's going to fail. I think it's gotten some good reviews. I think it's, it's going to have limited potential in the youth market, because Facebook is starting to lose traction in the youth world, because, there's too many damn parents on it. I think it's I think it'll be fine. I think it'll work well. I'm kind of anxious. I did put, I am on have reserved an HTC One when it comes out on the 19th, and HTC is making an interface to make that available across more than just one phone. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's kind of a nice idea. So call me crazy.
It's funny that it's been out for about 24 hours now, and 48% of the users are giving it 1 star.
Oh,
and
boy.
I downloaded it because it's one of those things that shows up for any Android phone that's running Ice Cream Sandwich or higher. Mm-hmm. So I have ICS on my phone. I downloaded it, and when you start it up, it basically gives you a message that says your phone is not supported. So I think that a lot of those 1 stars are people that get that.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it just gives you, it works, but they won't let you use it on your phone.
Yeah. It doesn't work on your phone. Yeah.
It comes back to that whole challenge that Android faces, is the multiple versions of Android that's out there. And that's obviously a side effect of an open environment. There's just
There's not a good way for them to filter it out as well. I mean, there is, if you're looking on the device itself, it doesn't show you Facebook Home. But if you go to play.google.com and you search on it, it will show you, and you can push it to your phone. So that's sort of a flaw in my book. But I think that's why they're getting a lot of these 1 stars. Although there's some that are legit, that people with Galaxy S3s that are supported just don't like it, because they're heavy widget users, and this completely blows that up.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah,
but it's new. It's it's a matter of how connected you want to be to Facebook, and how active you want to be on Facebook.
I'd like to see the same sort of idea, but from Twitter. Yeah. I think that would be a better solution instead of Facebook. So hopefully more launchers like this come out, and people like Twitter, who has a horrible Android app. I mean, it's probably
awful.
It's the worst way to look at Twitter on Android.
Yeah.
So we all use either Falcon or Plume, which are much, much better. I think they could get a lot more users back if they did their own, you know, like Twitter Home sort of thing.
So is Tweetbot not available on Android?
No.
No.
It's my, it's the best Twitter client I've ever used.
That's what everybody always says.
That's what, yeah.
I check Google Play Store every once in a while just to see if it's out there, and it's not.
Okay. So. All right.
All you iOS bigots. Yeah.
Yeah, you bigots.
Hey.
Yeah, we don't have Downcast either, and we're pissed.
We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Well, then write the damn apps yourselves.
Actually, Pocket Cast, which I use, is a really good podcatcher, though.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
They have an iOS version, but it's not as good as their Android version, strangely enough. But anywho, but you've Downcast, so you don't need to go for it.
Yeah.
Well, but we also talked last week about that Aereo
TV,
And I found this Wall Street Journal article that was this bizarre about Aereo. Did you see that, Steve?
I looked at it this morning in the show notes.
Well, their competitor is actually called Aereo Killer.
Yeah.
And it starts out on the West Coast where Aereo is not going, and they've been blocked by the court out there. Aereo on the East Coast.
Well, and the guy that started it had BarryDriller.com
because
Barry Diller was the head of Aereo. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. You can't just make this stuff up. This is just like hilarious.
Well, but here's the thing that when I was reading this, is I thought, you know, this Aereo Killer is probably a consortium of cable TV companies that got together and said, let's do this and just throw a lot of FUD into the market.
Yeah. I think what they want to do is they want to get precedence in the courts. So this is sort of like a straw man that they've stuck out there.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're getting precedence in the courts to block it.
Yep.
So eventually Aereo will be squashed by all the other interests, mostly on the cable TV side.
Well,
but it's interesting to see him trying to build a business anyway to get around. You know, it's not necessarily the cable companies that are more upset about it. It's the broadcast people,
which I find really weird, because why would the broadcasters care? Other than the fact that they can, because they have to maintain their affiliate network.
Right. That's why they care, is they don't want to lose all those affiliates. And, you know, they won't lose the affiliates in the major markets like here, but if they lose them in, you know, Des Moines and
Fargo and all these other
smaller cities, that the whole thing starts to get, you know, their whole business model starts to collapse.
Well, I will argue,
which is already starting to collapse.
It is, but I would also argue that that the cable companies have a lot to lose. I mean, if you look at Comcast, and their 63% of the revenue comes from cable television and ancillary services to that. That's a lot to have threatened. And all the other cable companies are in the same boat. But yet I'm finally starting, as we all are, finally starting to see the cable companies react in some pretty positive ways with respect to apps, so you can do more on-demand. One of the reasons why several years ago Comcast made huge investments in servers to be able to do on-demand, and Time Warner's doing it, and you know, HBO is kind of doing their own thing with the HBO Go app, but it's still tied to my Comcast account for now, unless I want to pay them a separate subscription.
No, you have to have a cable subscription to get HBO Go.
But you can do a separate subscription, I thought.
Nope. Yeah, if you live in Sweden, you can. But
oh, I see. Gotcha.
Yeah, they're testing it.
Are you moving to Sweden anytime soon?
Norway. I'm going to Norway.
I'm moving to
for
Sweden
the Lutefisk.
So I can watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. Oh. I started watching that show, and it just didn't do it for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed gratuitous, and
Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't like it. I watched the first couple episodes, and it's like, I don't get it.
Huh.
Yeah, anyway,
a lot of people are into it, but
I haven't watched it. So.
Now, a lot of people don't like Mad Men, and I love it. So it's like one of those deals.
Right. Wow. Well, you stuck another article in here about the new resume. It's 140 characters. Boy, I tell you, when I saw this before, I really thought, I mean, come on. Seriously?
That's what I thought, too. I thought, oh, this is stupid. And then I looked at that hashtag, Twee resume or whatever it is, the Twitter resume. And there are a ton of people doing this.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I can't imagine a hiring manager actually looking on Twitter and finding people this way. This is just crazy.
it, you know what, it's just, it's an aberration. I mean, it's like the guy that did his resume as an Amazon page and he was the product.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's
it was
a good, but that's a good idea. Well, and it's also the guy that did the good idea of he bought ads, vanity ads for people that he wanted to work for. You know, he was a creative and so he bought the owners of agencies in New York for their name. And he put an ad, you know, Google ad above it.
So, that's
actually using your craft in a very creative way.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty damn clever.
And he got a job that way. But I think this Twitter resume thing is just—it's just stupid, and it's of course it's covered in the mainstream media, you know, because it's cute. It's one of those kind of a throwaway story. It was in the Wall Street Journal of all places, though. But
Well, you know what was more interesting was this LinkedIn thing with talent spotting algorithms. That I tweeted that, and I said, "Whoa, is this going to eventually be the end of human recruiters?"
Oh, put that in the show notes, because I haven't seen
right
that.
No, yeah, it's very interesting that big data is going to start playing a bigger role in hiring. So yeah, let me get that in here for you.
Well, because that
it's,
you know,
Forbes.
Yeah, there'll be a big push to mine people's online lives. So it was really interesting because I had a interesting conversation with a buddy of mine who's a real conservative, and he said, "Yeah, you know, just for grins, last Saturday I started going through your blog, and it was really cool until I came to all the stuff about politics. It's like, you're really a liberal, aren't you?" I said, "No, I'm not. I consider myself to be a centrist, and I really work hard at trying to maintain, you know, that centrism so I can look at things both ways and see the merits of both or the pitfalls." And he said that's that. And he just said to me, he goes, "That's bullshit. You're a liberal." So it's like, you know, anybody that would mine my blog for my intent or my leanings would be fairly obvious. And I think it's the same way with tweets and with Facebook and everything else. I mean, it's getting easier to mine and figure out how, where people's heads are at.
Yep. Big data can do a lot of cool things, you know, or crazy things.
Yep.
So, yeah, this talent spotting algorithms thing. Yeah, take a look at that. I'll get the link in there.
Okay, so here's a question.
Uh-oh. Stand by.
If Apple comes out
yes.
with a new streaming music service,
oh,
will anybody buy it? Will any of you guys buy it?
Sure.
I don't know. Depends. I
think there's another need for another streaming music
service. No. Why are all these people doing it all of a sudden? Twitter is in the game.
Because Spotify's having so much success and they're trying to eat their lunch. I don't know.
Well, Spotify and RDO, you know, they're entrenched. I don't know. I don't see how they can... I don't see how, you know, Twitter and Apple is going to change people's behaviors, because we've already decided if we're going to use these services or not.
Well, I think the only advantage they have is they have a base of users that, you know, is an automatic huge base of users, so they can, you know, upgrade people rather than, you know, have to strike out with a brand new service or a brand new brand. But again, I think the ship has sailed on a lot of that stuff, but
yeah, it's very late in the game.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about, you know, looking at all these different services is how many do you need?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Apple's seeing, iPods drop so dramatically because they don't have, any kind of streaming capability. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I haven't really been following that.
Well, you can stream if you do, iTunes Match. Right, if you have a iPhone or an iPod Touch,
yeah, but there's no built-in sharing, for example, so you can't Jeez,
nice Graham.
Yeah, nice mute.
Excuse me, I've had on mute most of the time, and the one time I didn't.
Oh God,
too late. Yeah.
Well, so Yeah, but you can't share. I mean, that's one of the cool things about Spotify is being able to share your playlists. I mean, I love that. So.
Yeah, I never do that.
Well, I've been waiting for you to do it so I can see, you know, I want to see your Barry Manilow collection.
You do not want to hear my playlist, you know, because I play really, really weird shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Graham's on fire.
Wait a minute. I get scolded. Just to let everybody know, I get scolded on a regular basis when I drop an F-bomb or an S-bomb.
S-bombs get scoldings?
I get scolded. But now, you know, Graham's on a rant. He's free form.
That's true. We have young children listening to this podcast.
Oh, that's right.
No, I'll have to send you the beep.
Yeah.
I should have known.
You like that one that I did where I put the beep in?
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
It was
that sort of power. Yeah,
but I think we're all gonna be able to benefit from stuff, you know, this PIKI, the service from Pandora. You know, they're doing this only because of the competition, so you know, competition can be very good.
I gotta tell you, I canceled my Pandora account.
You did? Why?
I just find I'm using Spotify so much more.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know. I love Pandora, mainly because I love how it recommends.
Well, you
artists.
See, that's not doing a very good job of recommending in my world. So I don't know why that is. My channels, whether I have to spend so much time to build the channel or what, but you know, I'll hear the same crap over and over and over again, and it's like, God, I can get that anywhere.
Huh. All right.
But anyway, that's just me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, that's okay. Don't hold it. You know, don't be all bummed.
You know, yeah. All right. So I guess we have to talk about Apple, huh?
No, yeah, I no, by no means do we have to talk about Apple. No, there's no rule that says we have to talk about Apple.
That's true.
Well, there's lots of Apple news this week, though.
Well, yeah.
But not really. I'm just
the T-Mobile thing. And
the T-Mobile thing's cool.
Yeah, there were lines at T-Mobile store yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell our listeners about it, Tim?
Well, why were you at the T-Mobile store?
I was not, but I saw it on TechMeme. They had stories about that there were lions.
Lions? What is it? Lions or lions?
Lions. People were standing in lines.
They actually said they were at all 3,000 stores, the guy said. I couldn't believe that.
They rolled out the.
Come on, Apple fanboy, you should be just ecstatic about.
Well, but it's hard to believe there were lines at all their stores. I mean, maybe some of their major locations, but good for them. You know, they might have been kind of short lines, but they were lines.
Yeah, and I think they're going to get a lot of switchers because they have a trade-in program where you can bring an iPhone 4 or iPhone 4S. And you get your iPhone 5 for free, so you don't have the $99 that they charge normally.
But you still have the $20 a month for 2 years.
Correct.
Which is that's a bad deal.
Well, but it's an unlocked phone, and you're not locked to their service, so you can cancel the service if you want.
And they prorate the cost.
Right.
The longer you
stay
with them.
So it ends up being actually a fairly good deal, better than if you walked into the Apple store and bought it just straight up.
But you can't, like, I could go sell my 4S for like $400 or something, couldn't I, Steve?
Well, you'd have to have it unlocked first. Oh, but no, I don't think you'd get $400 for it.
But I can call AT&T anytime after May and get it unlocked.
That's correct.
Well, you get it, but you get $220 total in credit for your trade-in, which is, I think if you looked at Gazelle, is probably fairly close to what they
it is.
Yeah, so they give you a
locked phone.
Yeah, it's locked to T-Mobile.
No, but I mean, the Gazelle price is for a lock. The 220 is for a locked.
Well, I don't know if it'd be 220. It depends on your condition. But you know, go in there. It's just
sparkling.
It's just, you know, T-Mobile's trying to make it easy for AT&T people to come over and switch.
Yeah.
I think they'll get a fair amount of that. You know.
So my iPhone 4S 64 gig after. May, I could get $225 for it, Gazelle.
Okay.
So the T-Mobile deal is a pretty good promotion.
I think it's a very good deal.
Is that a locked or an unlocked phone, though?
Well, it's either one.
Either way.
Yeah, because they'll just unlock it when they get it.
Yeah. So when you get it through T-Mobile, it is locked to T-Mobile, so it will not work on AT&T. But if you're a customer, 90 days good standing, you can call them up and they will unlock it for you.
So for example, one of the things that people should think about before they sell their phone is if they're going to travel internationally, like my wife has an iPhone 4, and so she is looking at an iPhone 5S, if that's what they call it when it comes out, but keeping her iPhone 4, getting it unlocked, and then buying a SIM so she can use it when she goes overseas. And you can do that easily.
So, yeah, or she can get her current iPhone 4 unlocked through AT&T.
Well, that's correct, but she wants to have a backup phone anyway.
Oh,
so
I see.
Then she can, but then when she's over there, she can tweet, she can send email and, you know, do whatever. I think that's a great idea.
Hey, Tim, I got one question for you. You know, I said that I could get an iPhone 5 or 5S when it comes out. I mean, the new one, whenever that'll be, July, maybe August, I don't know. And then I could give my wife the iPhone 4S to use on T-Mobile. And you said, no, it'll just run on the old Edge network, which is crap, you know. But they were saying in their promotional information that you can bring your own iPhone, you know.
Correct.
But why would they be saying that if it's going to run on the damn Edge network?
Well, they've changed their frequencies to support AT&T 3G in many cities.
Oh, here?
I don't know about if it's here or not, but I know that they have several cities. You know, obviously, well, that doesn't even have LTE, so it wouldn't work on the LTE.
No.
But I think it will work on their 3G network.
On their 3G. Okay, well, then that might be an option for me. And by the way, did you say last time we talked about this that T-Mobile does have LTE in this market, right?
Not yet. But
not yet. Okay.
It's shortly. They
yeah.
Will.
Okay. Okay.
Well, they're going to do a deal with AT&T, I think, right?
What, who?
T-Mobile, or are they going to have their own LTE?
Oh, they're rolling their own LTE out. Okay. In fact, it's a lot better than anybody else's LTE.
It is. I've heard that. Although I just read that it's only in 7 markets right now.
Right. Yep, that's correct.
Yeah.
But because it's not loaded very heavily, it's going to it is better than AT&T's, which is was previously the best LTE network.
Right. Yeah, I've read that too. Well, they definitely are a viable option for people, and I have no doubt they're going to sell a ton of iPhones.
Yeah, no, they're coming very aggressively at the market. It's, you know, no contracts, lower costs, the whole work. So there's enough animosity with AT&T gouging customers that I think they're going to get a lot of converts, because now there's really no reason.
Yep. Huh. Well,
you can get your iPhone there, you know. So.
Yep. If anything, it'll help us AT&T folks lobby for a better deal from AT&T.
Well, yeah, there's competition. Yeah, no,
go to T-Mobile.
if they get a lot of people switching, then obviously AT&T has to react.
Competition is good.
Yep.
I love it.
Looks like Yahoo is also working with Apple in what some people are thinking is sort of like a Google killer sort of mode on the iPhone.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting idea. You know, a lot of people say Yahoo, who pays attention to Yahoo? But they've got quite a machine.
Yeah, and well, if you look at web services that are hardened and comparable to what Google has, Yahoo is the number two guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, yep. And Yahoo on the iPhone has been on since day one with the Stocks app and there's Weather, I think, is also from Yahoo. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and they've got a strong sports business, really strong.
Yeah. Well, the finance one alone to me is worth.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, I use finance.yahoo.com and I use Flickr. Those are the two services that I use. But you know, they got movie stuff, they got shopping and travel and jobs, all kinds of web services that they could probably get some traction with.
Melissa has a whole bag of tricks to work with over
and
there.
And Marissa, too.
Marissa is what I meant, yes. Marissa Meyer.
That's right. That's right.
I got my L's and R's screwed up there. That was a Chinese pronunciation I did there or something.
Yeah, and of course, the non-Apple or the rumored Apple products are now delayed. The non-announced Apple products.
Right, right, oh. Right.
Yeah, the 5S. So there's the 5S. There's the lower cost iPhone, which is supposedly going to be $400 off contract, which is and it's made out of plastic, apparently. And the new iPad mini, which I guess would be faster processor and a Retina display.
Right. And who knows?
All of those rumored products, unannounced products, have been delayed.
Yeah.
So meaning the rumors have been revised.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really knows what they're going
to
do.
No,
well, we won't have to wait long. We're only about, 8 weeks, 9 weeks away from WWDC, probably.
Yeah. So.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the iPads because the iPad 2 is getting very long in the tooth. And, it's the only one with the old dock connector still. So they're probably going to discontinue that. And then what do they do with their pricing? I guess the iPad mini is their entry level.
Yeah.
Didn't they introduce a new full-size iPad with Lightning connector?
They did.
They did, yeah.
The fourth generation one. Yeah. So that's at the high end at the $500 price point. But the thing that the iPad 2 gave them was a $400 price point. And, the trade-off with the customer was you get the older tech and the older screen. And it looks like they're going to probably drop that. And, your trade-off will be, you get a smaller screen for less money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would buy an iPad mini today if it had a Retina display. I just can't. I can't go back. I mean, I look at icons on my iPad 3 and I can read text in the icon that's inside of a folder. You know, that when you group all your icons together for a certain category, I can actually read the icon inside of it. I mean, that's how crisp and clear it is. So.
Yeah, well, I think I don't mind ours at all. I mean, I didn't really even notice it, to be quite honest with you. And I've heard other people say that, too, with the smaller screen. I didn't notice it. But maybe your eyesight's too damn good. I don't know.
I just think that once you go that way, once you experience it, then you really notice it when you go back.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue.
Yeah, some people might. But, boy, I'm not sorry. I got the iPad mini actually for my wife. It's a great little machine.
Well, I'll tell you, it's one thing, when you start to look at websites on a Retina display, you can really see the fuzziness of photos and graphics.
Yeah.
And it's really changed, web delivery and web design, based on how you have to, export your images that are web ready, and in what resolution. Because the stuff just doesn't look good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it would depend on the website, right?
Right.
Yeah. Some are going to look pretty horrible on the non-Retina when you're used to the Retina.
Right. Right. Yep.
Are we done talking about Apple yet?
No. It's time for Steve's Security Tip of the Week.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Here's my Security Tip of the Week. We're all done talking about Apple, so Phil can chime in now.
Yay!
All right,
so excited.
Okay, so the big deal that's
Phil loves brute force attack.
Of course he does. Of course he does. He likes to be tied down on the bed. Oh,
hey,
I wasn't supposed to tell.
Mister.
Okay.
No, only online brute force attack.
Only online ones, yeah. Well, so what's going on right now as we speak? Because I've been getting notifications that they're trying to hack in. There's a global brute force attack. That's building this huge WordPress botnet. And so what it's doing is it's finding susceptible WordPress sites by scanning them. And for those that use the admin password, the default, and have an updated WordPress and maybe have an updated plugins, they have all these attack vectors. They can get in, they can take over the site, and they can use the site to go out and attack other sites. And so there's an estimate right now that there's, maybe as many as 90,000 sites that are attacking. And this is all about, never using the admin as a username.
Why does the installer, generate admin?
Well,
as the default, it just doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, it doesn't, and a lot of the one click installs that are available on a lot of web hosts, they actually allow
you to change it.
Well, no, they actually remove it now.
Oh, they do.
So it's blank. So you have to put in a username, and so obviously never use the username admin,
and don't use password 123 as your password.
Oh God.
Crap. Yeah. Excuse me a second. I gotta go.
Yeah. Change it, Phil. Quick.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll put a four, five, six. Yeah, I'll put a couple of fixes
pencil,
in.
Pencil 456 is a good one.
No, put your birth date in. Oh, no, put in your last name. That's and then one. 123.
You put your kid's name in.
Yeah,
put Philip Wilson Lakeville.
There you go.
There you go.
Say that again slow. What is it?
All in lowercase.
Yeah.
Well, I'll put a couple of links in. If you have a WordPress install, and here's what you need to also be careful of. So I have 18 domains that I host at my that are my own domain names. And there have been times when I've installed a WordPress instance and then forgotten about it. So I've been testing something and I've done an install, which means it's not updated. And that is one of the pitfalls. If you've got a web host, make sure that you don't have some WordPress install somewhere that you haven't paid attention to for a year, because that's going to be a problem. But for active sites, you can do things like limit login attempts. There's a plugin for that, and there's also a plugin called WordFence. I'll put links in the show notes. And it's pretty easy, I think, to guard against this particular hack, but boy, start using good passwords and also keep your WordPress site up to date. You know, run the updates on plugins and WordPress itself and on themes. Just log in once a week. Put something on your calendar and log in once a week and just keep it updated. It takes you 4 or 5 minutes to do that. So it's not the end of the world.
I have another
service Managed WP to remotely, you know, keep all of your installs up to date.
Well, that's the other, but that's another discussion.
That's a pro tip.
Yeah,
pro tip. Oh, yeah. Well,
I love Managed WP.
I have an unpro of the ultimate solution to this problem.
Yes.
Get a typepad blog.
Oh my God.
Hello.
I knew that was going to be in there.
Bada boom.
So what are you going to get rid of that typepad blog?
Hey, you know what I realized? We were talking about this at Minibar. We had a great discussion at breakfast up table of us about a bunch of things. And I was telling my story about how, you know, I've got this old blog platform. And Paul DeBettings was sitting across the table from me. He's on typepad too. I go, oh, you mean I'm not alone? And it's like he looked at converting his and it was too much of a hassle, so he's going to do some custom CSS thing front end on it now or something.
Oh my God.
But you know, so he's kind of a holdout too for another reason. I think he had way too many images and having to transfer them over one at a time was just like, no way, Jose, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I built my that tribute to my dad, that website/blog,
which is really great to look at, by the way.
Oh,
thank you very much for that.
And I did it at WordPress.com because I wanted it to live there, you know, for as long as it possibly can, even if I'm gone. But it was really the first time that I got deeply into WordPress.com. And well, I'll tell you what, Graham, if you were going to make a change rather than go and host it yourself based on what you do, I think you would really... WordPress.com, having a blog there would be perfect.
Really? It's gotten a lot better.
It's gotten a lot better. They have upgrades. So if you want to, you know, do all your storage there, you can pay them, I don't know, $30 a year or something.
Because it used to be so limited as far as the number of templates and all that.
Well, that's still the case, but you can make a lot of modifications and you can buy premium themes. But it's surprisingly robust.
When you buy a premium theme, do you pay for it just once?
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't have like recurring monthly charges. So
no.
So it's going to be less expensive than hosting it somewhere on your own, somewhere else.
Well, you know what? You could get the max storage, a premium theme, blah, 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 all for less than you're paying every year for TypePad.
Yeah, I'm paying $15 a month to TypePad, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But
it
yeah,
is, well, it is, but I'm not going to go there. Yuck, yuck.
Yuck. Oh, man. Well, you went through it, I know, converting yours over from Typepad. What is that? At least 2 years ago, maybe more, probably. Yeah. So I got to do it. My problem is I'm backed up on posts I'm trying to get published, and it's like, I'll do those first, then I'll get to it. And it's like, something always comes up, you know? So you get locked in, that damn vendor lock-in, you know?
Yep.
It's a problem with a lot of things.
It is a problem. Yep. So what's coming up? Anything of interest? Today is Mini Fair, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go check that out. That looks kind of fun. It's over at Hack Factory in Minneapolis. So
yeah.
That goes on today and tomorrow, I think, too. So.
Yep. I thought it was. Oh, yeah, it is both days. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Okay. And then Mini Webcom.
Pick up some Arduinos for me there, Phil.
Arduinos or some, you know, Raspberry Pis, you know, something like that. So.
Yeah. One of those.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Boing Boing post on Raspberry Pi, but I got to tell you that these things are selling like hotcakes. And if nobody knows what it is, it's a little
selling like pies. Is what
well, it's
they're
a,
doing.
Yeah, it's like a little board level product, and it's a little cheap and hackable computer. People are doing amazing things with it. I mean, it's pretty cool. I'll put a couple of links in the show notes, but
okay. Yeah, I'm gonna pick one of these up because you can run Xbox Media Center on them now.
Yeah, XBMC. Yeah.
Yep. So I could just see a little box that, you know, you can run XBMC. You can use it as an AirPlay device. So you can push from iTunes or your iDevices using AirPlay to it.
Cool.
Because that's built into XBMC. So.
Yep. Oh, Graham's doing the breakfast dishes again.
We brought up. That's not me. That's background noise.
Oh.
Sorry about that. But anyway.
It's background noise.
It's not me. It's the environment.
Okay.
It's not me. It's an environmental thing.
Yeah. So WordCamp MSP, is registration live yet?
Hey, before we do that, going back to Mini WebCon, did you guys mention that?
No.
No.
Sorry.
I'm going. Anybody else going?
I can't.
Okay. I'm going on Monday for some of the sessions. And if one of you wants to use the press badge for anything else, let me know when you look at that schedule, okay?
Sounds good.
So we can go as Graham Thickens?
No, it'll just be a Minovate badge.
Oh, I wanted to go as Graham Thickens. And people go, what?
Well, yeah.
You don't look like Graham.
Yeah. And then on Tuesday at MiniWebCon, they're doing workshops at another location, which escapes me now where it is. Oh, the McNamara Alumni Center on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, and there was one session that there's a couple of really geeky ones that I thought one of you guys might be interested in. One of them might have been.
Wait a minute.
Well, that Tim or Steve might possibly have been interested in, but maybe not. But there's another one on social media that I thought, well, I might go pop my head into that on Tuesday. But Monday's all sold out. So they can't literally fit. They cannot fit any more people in because of fire marshal regulations. But Tuesday, the workshops are still available, which you can buy one at a time, I think. So. That's cool. It on that. Go ahead on WordCamp then.
Well, just that it's coming. It's you can register now, and there's some tickets remaining for each one of the sections, and they're cheap, $20. If you just want to do WordCamp on Saturday, if you want to go to BuddyCamp on Sunday, it's another $20, or you can do both for the amazing price of $40. Wait a minute,
it's amazing. It's like, wow, what a bargain!
What a bargain! Let's just make it $39. Come on.
$39.95.
Yeah. I mean, it's like save something on that.
I just get a kick out of that. It's like, or 2 days for $40.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's like my son Jeff used to make grilled cheese at Deadhead concerts, you know, Grateful Dead. And it was $1 a piece or 3 for $5. And people used to actually buy the 3 for $5.
Oh, God.
And then they'd go away for a while, and someone would come back, hey, wait a minute. Okay, you can have them for three.
that's taking advantage. That's
actually funny.
Well, it was a fun thing, you know.
Yeah.
Well my favorite story is a guy I know who had an ebook that he was selling for $19.95 and it was doing okay. I'll see if I can find the link to his blog post here, but he was just banging his head against the wall, and he finally said, you know what, I'm going to raise the price. And he raised it to $99.95, and it sold like 3x.
Yep.
It was just because, you know, people attached more value to it. And they said, okay, well, I guess maybe this is the definitive be all end all. And it was about coding, which is a segue into Twin Cities Code Camp 14.
Oh, that was a good
is
one.
Coming.
Is good.
Did you like that?
So who's going?
That was a good segue.
Do you have the gang going to do full press coverage?
No, I don't think so. And same with the Midwest Mobile Summit up in Fargo. I'm really glad to see these events happening around.
I'm seriously thinking of going to that.
I'm going to that one myself. So.
Oh, good. Hey, Phil, could we carpool?
Well, if you want to go with my son, because he's going to go along as well, we're going to do a campus visit at NDSU. So.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I might just take you up on that, because I do not want to do that drive all the way up and all the way back all by myself. It's boring, you know?
I understand.
I mean, if I can't gang up with somebody else from DUAP or something, I might talk to you about that.
Okay. You know, you're more than welcome. You really are.
Are you going to stay overnight, I assume?
Yes. Of course, you'll have to drive, but that's all right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got to be the limo driver.
Hey, well, one thing we forgot to talk about, I sent you guys an email about this asking if you knew
who this... We've been going on for a long time, guys. Are you sure you want to talk about more stuff, Steve?
Well, we should probably go then. It's about that Northern Minnesota top celebrity interviewer. I'll just stick a link in the show notes. People can read it. It's cool. Okay.
You mean the Out of Work Radio guy?
Yeah, that guy. Okay. Yeah. All right. So spring conference.
He's the Phil Wilson of Northern Minnesota.
Exactly. All right. MHTA Spring Conference is coming, and that's it. Let's wrap up.
All right.
Thank you for listening to
the Minnovate Gang Podcast.
All right. Take care.
See ya. Thanks, guys.